This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And filling in for Jim Smalley today, I'm Ryan McNally. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. There's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. Also brought to you by Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here. Today on the show, we'll talk about an outbreak of African swine fever and the risk it poses to North American markets. We'll also take a look at the $130 million announcement in Alberta to help farmers deal with drought conditions. We also have APAS's response to the agri-recovery announcement last week. Of course, farm weather in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Filling in for Jim, here's Ryan McNally.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-342-7778. And Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank, 306-721-6667. An outbreak of African swine fever in the Dominican Republic is not expected to alter risk to North America. Late last month, the deadly pig disease was detected in the Western Hemisphere for the first time in more than 40 years. A case of African swine fever has never been found in Canada or the United States. Millions of pigs have died or have been euthanized in both China and Eastern Europe. Dr. Paul Sundberg is the executive director of the Swine Health Information Center. He says the Dominican outbreak was detected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which tests samples from sick, dead, or dying pigs. Dr. Sundberg is confident the current measures can keep ASF on the Caribbean island.
Doesn't increase the risk, I think, of entry into the U.S. or into North America, including Mexico, because of that geography. But it also is important to point out that it is geography and that there are processes and controls in place to keep the virus out of the U.S., just like there has been since 2018, working on those things to make sure it stays away. So Customs and Border Protection, for example, and USDA are working together in making sure that there's interdictions at ports of entry where illegal products may come through, USDA's heightened up surveillance, and we're doing the things that we need to do to try to ensure as best as possible that we'll contain that virus on the island and not let it get away from Hispaniola.
Dr. Sundberg expects to learn more in the coming weeks about how African swine fever found its way to the Dominican Republic.
The reason that's so important is because that will help to inform us about that open window that was available there to ensure that we don't have that same window in North America. That's a work that's continuing to go on. We don't know how it got into the DR yet, but both the Dominican Republic and USDA are going to be working in concert and cooperation to try to figure that out. It may be a difficult thing to do, and there may not be a smoking gun, but certainly there's going to be a lot of work in trying to understand that, because that will help us to do better with our biosecurity.
Dr. Sundberg talks about the scope of the outbreak.
It is within 11 provinces of the 30-some provinces within the country of the Dominican Republic. Initially, it was identified in two, and then just a few days later, they found that with further testing, it was in more of the provinces in the Dominican Republic. I don't know that that's really a surprise. I expect that we very well may find out in the coming days or weeks that it very well may be further spread in the DR. One of the things that we do know, though, is the Dominican Republic is stepping up with checks along routes of transportation, quarantining farms. They're doing the types of things, and even including their military, the types of things that is necessary to try to contain it. So there's a lot of activity going on down there right now, and we'll have further updates as we learn more about where the virus is, how it got there, and their efforts to try to control it.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has also heightened disease surveillance. Sniffer dogs have been at major Canadian airports for the past couple of years. They are trained to find any meat being improperly brought in by travelers.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Covering for Jim Smalley, here's Ryan McNally.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference at prairieeavestroughs.ca. And Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialists. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. In Alberta, Premier Jason Kenney was joined by a few of his MLAs and several representatives with the cattle industry on a ranch near Bowden on Friday. That's where the Premier announced $130 million to help producers weather the impact of this summer's drought. Many are facing the difficult decision to sell off some of their cattle now to make sure they have enough feed for the rest of the herd through winter. The Premier is also hoping the federal government comes through with additional funding for Alberta ranchers through agri-recovery.
These conditions have our livestock producers face to face with some real heartbreaking choices that put their operations at risk for the future. And they need our help. Farmers and ranchers are always there for us when we need them. Year in, year out, they're producing the food that stocks our grocery store shelves and gives us the food security that we've come to take for granted. We owe it to them to be there just as they are there for the rest of us. Through the Canadian Agricultural Partnership, Alberta is taking immediate action to provide emergency support to Alberta's livestock producers. Today, I'm announcing that Alberta is allocating $136 million in immediate financial relief for our livestock producers and Alberta beekeepers. In addition, we've made a request under the Joint Federal-Provincial Agri-Recovery Program for the federal government to provide an additional $203 million on top of our contribution for a total relief package of $339 million. This is based on the 40-60% cost share framework of the program. Our request is subject to review at the federal level, but I'm hopeful that it will be approved shortly because there's rumors that there may be a federal election called soon. And I should say that just before our announcement, the federal government announced $100 million in immediate funding for agri-recovery for farmers in Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, BC, and Alberta. So I would like to take this as a hopeful sign that they will approve our request for full funding under agri-recovery.
Provincial Agriculture Minister Devin Drashin says Alberta ranchers are not only facing pressure from Mother Nature, but also from the United States.
As the Premier mentioned, we do have a very exciting announcement today with the $340 million agri-recovery program. That will work out to about a $200 per head payment to the cattle industry, and it's a sliding scale when it goes to the other livestock sectors across the province. And it will be administered through the Alberta Financial Services Corporation, AFSC. But as the Premier alluded to, full federal funding to an agri-recovery program is a 60-40 split with the federal government. And so that it's over $200 million that Alberta is requesting from Ottawa to make sure that our livestock industry here in the province is actually getting the support that they need. And obviously, why the drought and the fact that we're having feed shortages is exacerbated by the U.S. government having about a $195 a head subsidy in certain states. And we're actually seeing a near record amount of feed being shipped across the border at these times. So it's really just a problem of our cattle industry. Yes, they're having record high feed prices, but they're also seeing a lack of availability of their own feed stocks, as well as their pastures being dried up.
Brad Dubow, the general manager of Alberta Beef Producers, describes the situation that many ranchers are facing this summer.
Right now, producers across this province are doing their very best to try and determine with what they have available, what feed they have available, what looks like they could potentially source. They need to, at this point in time, determine how many cows they can keep. And if there is that possibility, or how many they're going to have to cull. So these are some extremely difficult decisions where producers are you know, trying to determine their very livelihoods and how they're going to handle the situation going forward. And of course, you know, we don't want to see a mass cull because we want to make sure that we as beef producers keep a strong industry here, not only as from the cow-calf sector, but through to the feedlot, processing, and to the retailer. So very, very important, extremely difficult decisions that producers are having to deal with right at the moment. This announcement today gives them some breathing room and hopefully allows them to start looking on how they can source some additional feed to get them through either the next few months or into the winter.
That's Brad Dubow, Devin Dreeshan, and Alberta Premier Jason Kenney on an announcement from the Alberta government to help producers deal with the drought conditions this year.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
Hey, Kara Oosterhuis here with realagriculture.com. We are back here today with another Canola School episode, and I have here with me Zach Carlson, who is an Extension Beef Specialist at North Dakota State University. How's it going today?
Thanks for having me. It's great.
Awesome. So unfortunately, where things are not so great is, we're no stranger to the fact that there is a drought across the western half of North America, basically. And as an extension specialist, you are looking at some options for producers that may have some canola that isn't quite up to par. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. So we were getting some questions here through, you know, all of July, really, about producers, livestock producers, as well as crop producers looking for options if they had canola. And a lot of forage in this area, as well as much of North America, as you indicated, is looking for those forage resources. We know, you know, we really didn't see the hay production this summer. And so looking into the fall and winter, coming up with some feeding strategies, we were getting a lot of calls about canola and what are the options and things to consider if producers wanted to take that for a forage crop instead of for an oilseed.
So what are some of these considerations? I mean, obviously it's a whole different crop again, and you are feeding it to an animal, so you're considering digestive systems and all of that. What sort of considerations do you have there?
Yeah, so it's going to really, you know, plant maturity drives forage quality, but canola being a brassica in the brassica family, you actually have, you know, when the optimum time for quality would be comparative, kind of like alfalfa, would be in that full bloom or early pod stages. And at that point, you could see, you know, a energy value or TDN of between 55% and 60% in that forage, as well as protein somewhere in that 15% crude protein range. So really a good quality forage put upright, and you just kind of have to manage the drying portion of it. You want to ensure with canola that you're getting a good dry down process and able to put that forage up, you know, under that 20% moisture mark to prevent any of that molding or you know, that spontaneous combustion, of course. So any of that molding will, of course, impact the feeding value of it, but you can really put up some quality forage utilizing canola.
So now, what about any byproducts as well that you might be mixing that canola with? What sorts of things are you considering there?
Yeah, you want to be cautious because canola can lead to bloat. So oftentimes you want to gradually introduce it. So if you do harvest it for hay, you want to gradually introduce it into the diet of your cattle or livestock, and then probably limit it to only be about 50%, just to mitigate any potential bloat issues, as it can lead into that. In addition to that, sulfur levels can run actually a little bit higher in canola. And so you want to be aware and have your water tested and know what your sulfate levels are in your waters. as much of Canada as well as western part of the United States can deal with some hot spots in terms of increased sulfate concentrations in well water even. And so be aware of that, as well as if you're going to be introducing corn distillers grains, there's oftentimes sulfur introduced in that ethanol process. So within that, being aware of how much sulfur you're introducing into the diet, if you are going to be bringing in a protein source such as high in sulfur like distillers grain. So just being aware of that, but definitely something you can easily manage and handle. I guess I would add another consideration, particularly for this year, is drought-stressed canola is going to probably bring higher nitrate values in with it. And so if you're cutting it for hay, or if you're going to graze this canola for forage, you want to be aware of those nitrates. And that simply you can take a sample of canola, just random cutting of plants throughout a field, and then submit that for a nitrate test.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri-weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Cloudy today, 60% chance of showers this afternoon, risk of a thunderstorm, a high 19. Cloudy tonight with a 60% chance of showers this evening, and after midnight with a risk of a thunderstorm with a low of 10. Increasing cloudiness late in the morning tomorrow with the high 21, the low 10. Wednesday, sunshine. It is supposed to be windy that day with a high of 23 and a low of 10. Thursday, sunshine with a high of 23 and a low of 10. Friday, sunshine starts to heat up with a high of 25 and a low of 13. And Saturday, sunshine with a high of 31 and a low of 15. The normal high for this time of year is 26 degrees. The normal low is 11. The sun rose this morning at 5:38. The sun will set at 8:30 sharp tonight. Around the province, in Estevan, it's 17, Saskatoon, it's 16, in Yorkton, it's 19, in Swift Current, it's 14. Saskatchewan's hot spot is Weyburn at 21. The cold spot is Cypress Hills at 10. In Moose Jaw right now, mostly cloudy, the wind northwest at 11, it's 20 degrees. In Regina, partly cloudy, the wind northwest at 4, and it's 19.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan, Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Covering for Jim Smalley, here's Ryan McNally.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And also brought to you by Patterson Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Patterson Liquid Systems, expect the best. APAS is welcoming the agri-recovery announcement from last week. The news release says the funding is designed to match all provincial agri-recovery submissions on a 60-40 cost-shared basis outlined under the Canadian Agriculture Partnership. The spokesperson in the Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau's office says Ottawa is open to providing more money if needed. The Fens say they are working with five provincial governments, including Saskatchewan, to complete the assessments of the disaster and how agri-recovery can respond. Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau also says Manitoba is invoking the late participation and provision of agri-stability, and the number of areas eligible for the livestock tax deferral is being expanded. It allows producers who reduce their breeding herds by at least 15% due to droughts to defer a portion of the 2021 incomes from sales until the 2022 tax year. APAS President Todd Lewis looks forward to how this will benefit farmers in Saskatchewan.
Well, I think it does recognize the urgency. We need some immediate help for especially for livestock producers, and it does mention that in the press release. As I say, the provincial and federal government are both working hard to try and get some programs out for producers, especially in the livestock sector. So we're hoping we see more announcements shortly over what details as to how this money will be distributed amongst producers.
The clock is ticking. How much longer do the governments have to work all this out?
Well, I mean, I think it's put best. The auction marts are booked full, and that's where Saskatchewan cattle herd is going right now. It's going up for sale. So anything they can do to stem the flow of cattle to the auction marts is what's going to be needed, because the long-term impact of this, is if we see that the cattle herd depleted far enough that it's into the breeding stock, it's going to have long-term implications for our industry in the province and really in the country. And, it is a big economic driver for both Saskatchewan and Canada, and consumers will start to feel a pinch at the grocery store level.
I see Manitoba now is invoking the late participation provision of agri-stability. Is that something Saskatchewan should do too?
Well, I think that's the most significant announcement today. Is certainly Saskatchewan producers should be afforded the same opportunity as Manitoba producers now. The deadline was extended to June 30th originally, but it's a different world today in rural Saskatchewan from June 30th till today. The crop has deteriorated greatly. There are allowable expenses, especially on the buyout of grain contracts, that are allowable expenses under agri-stability, and a lot of producers, unfortunately, are going to find themselves having to buy out these contracts, and that expense can be put into agri-stability, and it may trigger a payment. So, in a lot of cases, it's a good thing for Manitoba producers, and we certainly hope to see that happen in Saskatchewan as well.
We're about 40% participation rate in agri-stability?
I believe it's 40% or maybe even less, and it's not, certainly not above 40%, I don't believe. Haven't seen the numbers, with the June deadline sign-up, but I think anything we can do to try and access the program and the money that are there, this is a negotiation with the federal government. The money's in place. It's there. Let's allow Saskatchewan producers that choose to access those dollars.
Todd Lewis is the president of APAS. The federal government is committing $100 million to agri recovery as part of its 60% in the 60-40 cost share with the provincial governments. No other firm details were released on how that money could potentially be distributed.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Filling in for Jim, here's Ryan McNally.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, a small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. A big year for Cargill in the 2021 fiscal year. The Minnesota-based commodity powerhouse posted a $5 billion net income through the end of May, the biggest year in the company's 156-year history. It's a reflection of a profit boom shared by all commodity merchants during the COVID-19 pandemic. Cargill has broken a tradition that lasted over 20 years by not releasing these results publicly. The profit largely came from surging meat, corn, and soybean consumption, especially in China. During the last fiscal year, the company reported a sales-to-profit margin of almost 3.7%. The profit boom vindicates the strategy of Chief Executive Officer David McLennan, who has sold underperforming businesses and bet heavily on demand for proteins such as beef, chicken, fish since taking over in 2013. India will launch a $1.5 billion plan to boost domestic oilseed production in an effort to reduce costly vegetable oil imports. The additional investment will go towards better seeds and technology. India spends between $8.5 to $10 billion a year on edible oil imports and is the world's largest importer. Current domestic production accounts for less than half of India's domestic consumption. Major imports are palm oil from Indonesia and Malaysia, soy oil from Brazil and Argentina, as well as sunflower oil from Russia and the Ukraine. India's vegetable oil imports have nearly quadrupled to 15 million tons over the past two decades. Estimates indicate that number could rise to 20 million tons by the end of the decade. And Sanderson's Farms, a mega chicken producer in the United States, has been sold to Cargill and Continental Grain for $4.43 billion. Cargill and Continental now own the third largest poultry producer in the United States, only behind Tyson Foods and Pilgrim's Pride. The prices of U.S. chicken products, especially wings and breasts, have risen as easing pandemic-related restrictions bring consumers back to the restaurants and more fast food chains create fried chicken sandwiches. Several fast food chains, including Burger King and KFC, have launched their own chicken sandwiches, while Wingstop has moved beyond wings and is now selling chicken thighs to meet rising demand. JP Morgan analysts say a deal between Continental Grain and Sanderson Farms would draw some government attention given recent lawsuits regarding chicken price fixing. The new combined entity would control 15% of the U.S. chicken market.
The market updates on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The market update brought to you by Nelson GM and Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you're a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Also brought to you by Sask Pork. Saskatchewan's growing and vibrant hog industry creates economic spinoffs and career opportunities in our rural communities. Find out more at saskpork.com. Durham was unchanged this morning at 543.24, as was feed barley, unchanged at 294.65. Canola was down $10.50 at 848.72. Flax unchanged, 776.39. Lentils unchanged at 854.50. Oats unchanged at 298.53. Yellow peas unchanged at 440.89. Feed wheat, 261.65, also unchanged, but number one red spring wheat was up 82 cents this morning to 364.84.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Lee bringing the Livestock Market Report directly from Heartland and Swiftcurt. We had 1,000 head on offer last week. All cows sold barely steady. Here are the quotations. D1 and 2 cows were 78 to 85. D3 cows, 60 to 77. Good bulls are $1.10 to $1.24.50. Steers, 900,000 pounds were 185 to 192. 8 to 9 weights were 188 to 198. Steer calves, 400 to 500 pounds were 135 to 165. 300 to 400 pound steer calves were 155 to 285. Heifers, 900 to 1,000 pounds, 150 to 172. 800 to 900 pounds, 160 to 175. Heifer calves, 400 to 500 pounds, $2 to 225. 300 to 400 pounds are $2 to 235. For further information, please phone 773-3174. Good day and good marketing.
Now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices. Sig 4 in Brandon selling for $240.20 today. BP4 TC pork out of Moose Jaw also selling for $240.20 today. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
The Resource Report brought to you by Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. The Canadian Chamber of Commerce says they are in favor of vaccine passports or digital vaccination certificates. The organization says it would prevent further waves of COVID-19, adding future waves would prompt devastating lockdowns once again for the business sector. It comes as Quebec has announced residents must provide proof of vaccination for non-essential services in high COVID-19 transmission areas. And Winnipeg's Investors Group Field required proof of vaccination for fans to attend the Blue Bombers home opener last Thursday. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has previously said he also supports Quebec's stance on vaccine passports, but says each province must make their own decision on the matter. Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario have all rejected the idea of vaccine passports. U.S. citizens and permanent residents who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 are welcome back into Canada today for the first time in 17 months. Eligible U.S. travelers must be fully vaccinated at least 14 days before their trip and must also provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test no more than 72 hours before arriving at the border. While Canada welcomes back travelers from their neighbors south of the border, the feeling isn't exactly mutual. The White House has not yet announced when they will be allowing Canadians back at this time. On the markets, the TSX is down 35 points to 20,440. The Dow is down 86 points to 35,121. Oil is down $1.75 to $66.53 US per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is down 1/100th of a cent to 79.49 cents U.S. And that's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Once again, for Jim Smalley, I'm Ryan McNair.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.